Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to the book launch for A Pathway to Dreams with the Bard's Poetry Revolution and BardsCon Virtual, brought to you by Local Gems Press. Tonight, we're launching James P. Wagner's latest book, which is A Pathway to Dreams, a collaborative book of poetry that he wrote along with some other poets. So, James, why don't you tell us about how you came up with the idea for this book and sort of the process you went through to put it together?
Well, first of all, hi, Nick, and hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning in.
Hi.
That's the funny thing about this book in terms of, you know, the idea behind it. Like, I wish I could say that, you know, I had this brilliant scheme, but like most things in life that are good for me, I tend to stumble into them by accident. Because basically the way that this book came to be, and, you know, like Nick said, I wrote this book with 34 other poets, so it's kind of unique. It's not really an anthology, and it's not really a single author collection. It's a combination in between. But during, you know, there's some ruckus going on in the world right now. I kind of keep forgetting what it's all about. But due to said ruckus, we all tended to have to stay inside for a while. In pretty much all of the world. And so there were a lot of poets out there who were, you know, looking to write a bunch of stuff. And, you know, through Local Gems Press, we did BardCon Virtual, where we were putting all sorts of writing exercises and workshops and all kinds of things like that up there. And, you know, it seemed really great. A lot of poets were writing a lot of stuff. But I was kind of having my own issues writing anything. I was trying to write, you know, that poem over and over for a couple of weeks, honestly, during all this. I figured, ooh, well, now that, you know, at least I'm inside, I'll be able to kind of stir the creativity. But all I ended up getting was kind of like five or six half-complete poems, so I didn't really kind of get anything done myself. And I was kind of reveling in the irony of the fact that here, providing all these exercises and things for other poets to do, and here I am being a really crappy poet in my own right, not really producing anything. So what happened was we had one of the workshops we did was for the Mondo book, which is a Japanese collaborative style of poetry where one poet asks a question, the other answers the question, and it did really well, and people really seemed to like that. So on a whim, I was just kind of noticing, you know, I have a lot of starters for these poems, and, you know, with the Japanese mindset that was kind of there because they have a lot of collaborative styles of poetry, I was thinking, you know, since I'm not really coming up with anything for the rest of these poems, let me post one of these on my Facebook wall and see if any of, you know, my poetry friends want to kind of write the poem with me and continue them. So I started with one verse, which was just four lines, and I posted it on my Facebook wall one day and told everybody, hey, write this poem with me. You guys write the next verse, then I'll respond to your verse, and then you finish it. So we'll have, you know, a complete poem that will be four verses, two written by me, two written by them. And literally almost immediately, like within a minute of me actually putting one up there, I got the first response, and then I responded to them, and then they responded, and boom, we had a complete poem right then and there. And throughout the day, this happened over 20 times with, you know, each, you know, these people actually kind of spawning, you know, creativity in me, because the great thing about it was as soon as they responded, you know, without like even really thinking about it, I would just kind of go from the gut and respond with what came to me from what they sent. And so we had like, you know, all these wonderful collaborative poems that were done, you know, really quickly. And I was thinking like, wow, that's the most creative I've been during this entire time. So a couple days later, I was like, well, hey, let's do this again. And I tried it again and similar results where a lot of people were, you know, doing these collaborative poems with me. And once it did it the second time really good, I'm like, well, I got to complete it and make it a trilogy. So did it a third time, same thing, you know, a bunch of people responded. All in all, it was about 60 completed poems between the 3 days doing that. And so I was looking at it, and then I also kind of realized that by doing it this way, I also had actually, for the first time, completed, you know, a complete poem during the pandemic myself, because if you take all three of the starters that I put out there, which all became complete poems with other people, it actually became a poem in and of itself. So it was like I wrote a complete poem myself, and then I wrote about 60 collaborative poems with, you know, about 34 other poets. The great thing was some of these poets kept coming back day after day. Like, some of them did all three of these starters with me. You know, some of them kind of came in, you know, the second time or the third time. But it was all great. And so once I saw the results of this and just saw, like, what was all there, I was like, you know, I got to put this into a book. I mean, obviously, I have that thought quite a lot being a publisher. So I think, like, you know, book tends to be where I go. But I'm just like, this stuff is just too good not to put into a book. And so that's kind of how really the idea for the book came, was really after the book kind of was already created to basically answer the question.
Right. I don't think you were expecting when you started out to do this just how many responses you would get. I don't think you were expecting it would become a book in and of itself. I think it seemed like it was just a fun exercise you started that was a little bit too much fun. And then, well, not that that's possible, you know, and it became a book.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly how it happened, because then, you know, like, pretty much through, like, the second day was when some of the people started being like, hey, you should put together a book out of this, and I was like, yeah, you know, I might if we get enough stuff, and by the third time we did, and, you know, it was just great, and, you know, it's like I said, we've done countless anthologies over the years, so, but this isn't really, technically this is an anthology, because it's a bunch of, you know, different people in it, but it's really not an anthology. It's, you know, it's a collaborative collection. It's kind of like its own new genre in a way, because with each of these, you know, it was different than, like, you know, sometimes people write a poem with me and then they kind of put a starter and then people just kind of continue the poem verse by verse. But this was different because every response somebody gave to me started a pathway to a different poem. So it's like it all started from the same, you know, verse which I started with. And then there were just so many divergent paths, kind of like a tree branch, and then, you know, the branches that would come off of that. So each one of their responses triggered a new poem. So it wasn't like this is one long poem between, you know, 35 poets. This is literally different poems with every poet who replied. And they all stand on their own. They're all complete poems. And, you know, for me, I was just shocked how many different places we managed to go, you know, all from the same root. You know, it was like the same root bore a lot of different fruit, so to speak. And that rhymes because I'm a poet.
Well, that's the most exciting part about it. I found it kind of funny how, you know, following these posts on my Facebook, because I was tagged in the posts, I get all the, you know, the notifications every time somebody posts on them, somebody comments. It started to slow down towards the end, you know, as most people had already posted their responses. And then when you announced this was going to be a book, those posts became very active again. And I found that kind of amusing, but it was exciting to see how many people were getting involved, how many people were really excited about it. And some people were almost like they would post something and then very eagerly await your response. And it was really exciting to see how many different directions. It's cool because I've seen collaborative exercises before where you have a bunch of people in a room and you go around and write. But because you were sort of ping-ponging back and forth with each person, you're forming very distinctly different poems instead of a giant monstrosity Franken poem. And I like to see all the different ways that it turned out.
Yeah, no, that was definitely the most exciting part about it for me. And so once, you know, we had this book, of course, then became like, well, how to go about launching it. And, you know, like typically, well, you know, we would have just an actual book launch and do a live event. But there were a couple, you know, constraints with doing that this go-around because, first of all, you know, events with a lot of people are kind of a no-no at the current moment for some reason that I can't quite figure out why. I don't know, you know, something going on. But number two, of the 34 poets who were, you know, in this thing, they're from very, very different areas, you know, like different countries, different states. So it was really, you know, really expansive in terms of the geography. So it's like, where would you put the physical event to do that? I mean, I guess I could have gone on a, you know, international tour for it and all that, but, you know, not at the moment. So doing the idea of the virtual launch, you know, basically just came about through, you know, BardCon Virtual and Bard's Poetry Revolution. So, and tonight we have a bunch of people who actually sent in recordings of them doing, you know, their poems that we did together, which I'm really excited about. A couple people are actually going to call in at some point in the evening, which I'm excited about. And as I already announced earlier today, any copies that are sold during this launch right now are actually going to 90% of the profits from now until the end of the launch are going to Feeding America, because we're partnering with Bards Against Hunger. And, you know, Feeding America obviously has need right now, so figure we'd do a little bit to help that out. So if you're listening right now and you're thinking about getting a copy of the book, if you get it by the time we're done with the launch tonight, 90% of the profits go to Feeding America. And if you're going to get it after the launch, 30% of the profits will go to Feeding America. So that's just a little something that I wanted to kind of do to help out a little bit with the launch.
That's great, especially around this time. It's good to do as much as we can to help. And in a way, it's a huge community effort, because everybody who's in the book is also then contributing to help to increase its donations to Feed America, which is really nice.
Yeah, and I'm happy to actually report that there's been a bunch of pre-orders even before the launch started. So I actually already made a donation to Feeding America before we even came on live. So, and there will be another one after the fact.
That's good. Hunger event without having to congregate and close.
Yeah, definitely. So we got a lot of actual recordings of people doing this tonight. So, but I'm thinking, like, maybe before we play some recordings, I actually should read the three starters to the poem, just so people kind of know what that they actually are. You know, for people who are curious about how this book kind of came about. Like I said, every day I posted one of these, you know, one of these starters, and then people wrote from them. So I'm just gonna read these three quick. 1,000 dreams and desires, never written down, never spoken aloud, fleeting, floating, like a passing breeze. I wrote down a desire, and it became a vision, a goal, a path materialized, and I took my first steps. My eyes looking forward at all the places yet to go, overlooking what was behind me and how far I had already traveled. So those are the three starters that everybody kind of worked off of, and you'll kind of see throughout the readings tonight just all the different wonderful places that they actually went.
I'm looking forward to seeing the directions that everybody took those in. It'd be fun.
Yeah. So the first one that I actually that we have up tonight is actually my collaborative poems with Catherine Goddard. So let's listen to her.
One thousand dreams and desires, never written down, never spoken aloud, fleeting, floating, like a passing breeze. This is how the days go now. Fast food stops, playgrounds, window shopping, all have turned to cravings. And yet each craving gave way to the next, incomplete wish, each one a star on a cloudy night, wanting so badly to shine through. This is the way wanting works. The way I want to see you again. Moon, a halo behind your head. My eyes looking forward at all places yet to go, overlooking what was behind me and how far I had already traveled. I used to look too far ahead, anxious, envisioning the worst. But then I look behind, how far I've come. I can say with some shame, I don't remember the steps that I took to get here. How many miles have I forgotten? I wish I'd taken pen to paper, a few moments at the keyboard, tapped out memories like a song, sung my victories.
So that was two of the poems that I did with Catherine Goddard. And, you know, one thing I got to say hearing some of these back, and I mean, well, first of all, it's nice hearing the whole thing from, you know, the other person to kind of take, you know, the entire, you know, their verse and my verse, because it's always interesting hearing what you wrote from, you know, being spoken by other poets, first of all, so I like that. But just hearing back the own words that I kind of wrote for it, it's like I can't even remember actually having written the stuff that was in response to what they were doing, because I was just doing it from the gut, and it was just kind of going, you know, automatically with, you know, in a response to what they were doing. So it was like the muse was funneling through me, and I wasn't really consciously doing it. So hearing it back, it's kind of impressive, like how much was there, you know, like that came out. So I don't know, I find that really fun.
That's great. That must be a really interesting feeling to wait. I wrote that part because especially if you get to the point where after the first stanza, I couldn't really tell where your parts started and where her parts began, because it just flows so well together. That's something that's interesting with a lot of collaborative poetry, and especially longer ones, is the styles start to sort of mesh.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if I didn't know in advance that I wrote the first and third stanzas, I probably would have difficulty figuring out where, you know, my stuff began and then theirs came in too. So it's just, you know,
right.
It's really good.
And someone else can take credit for it.
Yeah, exactly. So the next one I have here is actually from Bethany James, who's a poet from Florida. Just so people know, some of these people, they sent in a recording of one of them. Some of them only did one or two of them with me. Some of them did all three. So you may hear the different verses or not. So this one's just one from Bethany.
A Pathway to Dreams, a collaborative poetry collection. This one is untitled. 1,000 dreams and desires, never written down, never spoken aloud, fleeting, floating like a passing breeze. Dreams of old and times before, the tree blows gently, the heart's desires come forth and fade away just as quickly. And yet uncovered in a box in the attic, an old journal, decades old, the words preserved untouched. A shattered cover opens, secrets of a scribe, memories float in the moment, tales of fields and fruit unripe. Thank you.
Yeah, I really am just in awe of, you know, how wonderful not only the readings are, but the different ways that all these things went.
Yeah. I can see that. I haven't actually read these. These are my first time. This is my first time hearing all of the poems in here, except for the one that I wrote with you. So this is very exciting for me to see all the different directions, and it leaves me wondering, okay, where are they going to go next?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, for me, I think a major reason of why this whole thing kind of chopped through the writer's block I was having is the fact that, like, you know, and this is going to sound a little bit like self-deprecating, and it's not really meant to be, but like, I don't find my own poetry nearly as interesting most of the time as other people's poetry, you know. And I'm not saying that like to bash myself, you know, like, I mean, my poetry is good, but I know hundreds of poets whose poetry is good. So, you know, I always, when it comes to like my own stuff, I sometimes, you know, it's like in terms of advertising just my own poetry and stuff like that, it's like I don't really find my stuff as interesting to promote as other people's to promote. But with this, it's like, you know, I found what I was writing, you know, I found it really interesting, you know, what I was writing too, because it came from, you know, the inspiration that came from other people. I know that I wrote, you know, I was the, you know, what the Japanese would kind of call the honored guest at the party of this collaborative poetry because I started it. But, you know, it's like for me, it wouldn't have been anything more than just those three verses if all these other people didn't come in and kind of take it in all these different directions. So for me, it's just a, you know, it's a blessing and a gift that I have this many talented friends who, you know, were able to do it. And all just from posting on a Facebook wall, too, is the funny thing. This is definitely the first book we've ever published that came from Facebook, you know. So that's
right.
Interesting thing in the world we're in.
You know, I could definitely sympathize with that sentiment too, the feeling of like other people's poetry is more inspiring or more interesting. And I think, I know for me, and maybe also for you, part of it is that I'm in my own head. So the poetry that I write is coming from me already. So it's normal, you know, it's mundane. Even if it's weird or interesting to other people, to me, that's what's there. You know, so when I read my own stuff, it's less inspiring, but when I read the work of other people, it's more interesting because that's not me. And so it's not something I would have come up with.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, having the other people kind of, you know, pull some of the creativity out of you, actually, I just find to be, astronomically, you know, inspiring and just wonderful. Because, you know, again, with collaborative poetry, it's not like, you know, I mean, one poet can be creative enough, but with collaborative poetry, it's not one plus one equals two. It's, you know, it's one times, you know, one, which I guess is still two. But no, actually, it's
one plus one equals 24. Basically.
Let me rephrase that. It's not creativity plus creativity. It's creativity times creativity, I think, is kind of what it, you know, comes out to. So one times one in this case will equal three, you know. Maybe not mathematically sound, but, you know, poetry is an art, not a science.
Yeah, the math doesn't make sense, but it doesn't have to. Because there is no math to explain what happens.
Also, just want to actually, you know, just give an update for anybody who's listening on the fundraiser part. We've actually sold four copies of the book so far since we've been live. At least so far, that's what's been reporting. It may be a couple more. Sometimes there's a lag, but just keep giving you going. There's money is being raised while we're doing this for Feeding America, so we're really happy about that. The next poet that I actually have here who's going to do the collaboratives is Sandra Feen. So let's listen to what she has to say.
I'm Sandra Feen from Grove City, Ohio, a suburb of Columbus. I'm grateful to be a part of James Paul Wagner's A Pathway to Dreams anthology, and our collaborations can be found on pages 16 and 41. I want to thank you, James, for bringing a host of poets together in this anthology, along with the other anthologies I know you are currently cooking. James, when I think about all that you inspire and do for the poetry community, something the great American poet Sharon Olds comes to mind, and I would love to share that with you. Quote, "To a poet, the human community is like the community of birds to a bird singing to each other. Love is one of the reasons we are singing to one another. Love of language itself. Love of sound, love of singing itself, and love of the other birds." I'm sure that others will agree that this really is a very appropriate quote for you, James. Thank you for making it so effortless and incredibly joyful for your poetry flock. And yes, indeed, we are your poetry flock to unite. 1,000 dreams and desires never written down, never spoken aloud, fleeting, floating, like a passing breeze, or a quill pen without ink to dip, but red, intentional as a tickle. And yet ink and paper can be found in many shapes and sizes if one chooses to look. If one will focus, peel layers, not scratch them. My eyes looking forward at all the places yet to go, overlooking what was behind me and how far I had already traveled. April's mask doesn't muffle possibilities that linger. Nothing will stop pussy willows growing. And the squirrels keep gathering, the birds keep flying, the moon keeps setting, and the sun keeps rising, even in a different spring showered in gloom, beginning in heartache.
Wow. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to Sandy for, you know, a good introduction for me. You know, whenever somebody says something good about me like that, I always kind of feel like, do I have to keep going on and keep performing at this point? Because I feel like I could only screw it up after somebody says something good about me, you know?
Right. It sets the bar really high. Oh, I also want to say thank you for giving me the page number. It makes it a lot easier to scroll through the manuscript than in the form that I currently have it.
I'll say about actually doing the book, because, like, I'll say this is the fastest poetry book I've probably ever written in my life, probably the fastest poetry book I've ever written since, like, middle school or high school, because back then I didn't really, like, edit or think. I just kind of wrote, so, and sadly some people have evidence of those books. But I will say, because the poetry book Everyday Alchemy, which just came out in December of 2019, that took me 3 years to do that one. And this one was literally done in like a week or less. But unlike my own poetry books or even anthologies, the formatting for this one was kind of a real pain in the rump. I will say, because having to actually pull each little bit off of social media and then assemble them the right way, and then even thinking, how do you go about listing the chapter titles and all that stuff in there? But I think I came up with a good way to do it, you know, and I think it, you know, I think the formatting actually came out looking really, really well in the book, if I do say so myself, having done the formatting. I'm a little biased, but just from a stylistic point of view, it actually came out good. But it wasn't easy, so it was much harder to actually make this book into a book than it was to write the book, which is actually, you know, usually the opposite in my case.
That's the reverse of our usual experience, but that's something I was going to bring up, because it's sort of like the technical difficulties or the technical challenges around putting something like this together. And one of the things that I like that you did that if anybody has the book in front of them right now, you can see. And if not, check this out when you first get it. When you open the book, before the contents, you know, where you would normally have a quote or something, you have each of the three starters on the same page together. And the way they're arranged together, it almost looks like they are their own standalone poem. And I thought that was really cool, because not only did you have all these collaborative poems with all these other people, you ended up collaborating with your past self when you were writing these pieces.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, actually. But, you know, like there was one workshop I attended once where they basically said that, you know, all poetry in an essence is kind of time travel, because when you go back and you rewrite a poem or you're editing a poem, you are kind of collaborating with your past self, kind of like what you just said, except, you know, they were talking about it more in the strictest sense of that. But looking at it from this way, over the fact that this was over the several days posting, that does add, you know, this book is like an onion. You keep peeling back layers, so I wonder if that means if I cook it up with steak, that it'll make the steak really yummy. Don't try that at home, people. That was a joke.
I might try it raw.
Yeah, although Sandra did say anthologies I'm cooking up, and then I got a mental image of me having some books in a frying pan. That would, you know, I don't think that's how books are supposed to go. But yeah, so the next one we're going to hear from is Jamie Colangelo, who actually, she was one of the people who did it with me all 3 days, as you'll hear in her introduction. So we got the three from there. She's been a, you know, quite a frequent contributor to our BardCon Virtual and our Bard's Poetry Revolution. So let's hear her renditions.
Hello, all. This is Jamie Ann Colangelo, and I am reading the first collaborative poem written with James Wagner. 1,000 dreams and desires, never written down, never spoken aloud, fleeting, floating, like a passing breeze. Some were old, some new, many remembered, some forgotten. Lord, speak new life to these dead dreams. The spirit rises from the grave, inspiration long since forgotten. Now has life again, moving me to action. My lungs fill, expanding with new breath. Life is resurrected, life more abundant. Thank you all. I hope you enjoyed it. God bless you. Good evening. This is Jamie Ann Colangelo, and I am reading the second poem written with James Wagner. I wrote down a desire, and it became a vision, a goal. A path materialized, and I took my first steps. My eyes opened wide, my ears became sensitized. The wonders of a new world sprung open and became alive. New world, new rules, new possibilities. Definition and declaration, two underutilized miracle makers. The spirit in me lives and flows freely. All that is within me boundlessly bursts forth. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed. God bless you all. Good evening, everyone. This is Jamie Ann Colangelo, and I am reading the third collaborative poem written with James Wagner. My eyes look forward, all the places left to go, overlooking what was behind and how far I had already traveled. The vision draws me in, exciting all my senses, breaking free of the past. Melancholy has no hold on me. And as the chains break, my pace increases. Many fold, many more steps lie ahead. I run with great expectation, launching out with newfound freedom, welcomed in by a whole new world. Thank you for letting me share. I hope you enjoyed it. God bless you.
I did enjoy that. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. You know, I mean, again, just the different directions, you know, that come from the same thing. And also, you know, like, just Jamie is a very prolific, you know, poet in herself, and she always does a great job reciting. So thank you so much for being a part of that, Jamie. And thank you for doing it with me all 3 days. There were a few people who, you know, were there on day one, day two, and day three, you know. So I that was kind of funny. It was like kind of taking a, you know, a trilogy journey together with them.
Yeah. And that was great. I particularly enjoyed the third poem. I think that was probably my favorite of the three that she read. And it's really cool to see how people stuck with it. And a lot of people got really excited after the first one and stuck with it. But I'm wondering, did you have many people who actually started on day three or day two and then went back and said, oh, this is so cool, I want to do another one, and went back to your previous posts?
You know, I actually did. It was kind of funny because there were some people who either came in on day two and then went back to day one or day three and went back. It actually got to the point that, like, while I was, like, formatting this thing, like, weeks after the fact, people were still trying to go back to the first one and start it again. And I had to, you know, sadly at one point I had to be like, no, guys, we can't do this anymore. Yeah, I have to consider these closed or I'm never going to get this book done. You know, and doing that. So there were some, but there was a limited time where people were going back and doing them again. And so that was, you know, it was funny how, like, they got, you know, like, excited, and they kind of got the, you know, the they got possessed by the muse, so to speak, to want to keep going with that. So actually we have, you know, speaking of somebody who came in, you know, I think it was either day two or three, actually have Kevin Rabbis, who's on the line from Kansas. Now, for those who don't know, Kevin Rabbis is actually the Poet Laureate Emeritus for the entire state of Kansas. So I'm really happy he could join us tonight for this. Say hi, Kevin.
Hello there. Thanks for having me, James.
No problem.
Hi, Kevin.
Thank you for calling, and thank you for being a part of, you know, this project that I was doing.
My pleasure. I'm all the way from Emporia, Kansas, which is, you know, Kansas is like a rectangle. The northeast corner is Kansas City. We're 100 miles southwest of that, so we're coming from a long ways, and we're looking forward to talking with you.
Yeah, I know. That was one of the things I really loved about doing this through, you know, social media, was just, you know, we weren't limited by geography. It's like we didn't have to have a, you know, a meeting in a room where we did this. So that was definitely one of the good things that came from, you know, this whole thing, was more people were turning to doing stuff virtually, which, you know, it doesn't replace things live and in person, obviously, but it is a nice supplement, and sometimes it does actually afford unique opportunities. So, yeah, thank you for being a part of that. And for those who don't know, Kevin Rabbis actually was also the editor of the Bards Against Hunger Kansas edition, and he actually has a book through Local Gems Press. So since this is actually a Bards Against Hunger-sponsored event also, just wanted to point out that Kevin has been instrumental for that out in his area as well.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Do you want me to read the poem?
Yeah, I was actually thinking, since you're here live, you know, maybe you and I can go back and forth. You know, I'll read my verse and you read your verse and see if it actually comes out good.
Rock on. My pleasure.
Okay, so let me just get to the point in my e-document because, yeah, unfortunately, I don't have the physical copy of the book yet. You know, the printers are taking slightly longer to get stuff because of, again, something going on out there. Okay, I found it. For those who have the e-book and are looking along, this is on page 14 with me and Kevin Rabbis. 1,000 dreams and desires, never written down, never spoken aloud, fleeting, floating, like a passing breeze.
A parking ticket, a receipt for a six-pack of seltzer and cans, and that Valentine card I bought but never gave you, already gone, moved on.
That $1 billion idea, the recipe for grandma's Italian-style meatballs, incorrect mathematical formulas for cold fusion.
All gone, swept with the leaves and out into the street, where I hunt with my hands for all I've lost, all we've lost to the wind. Well, that was a kick.
Wow.
Thank you.
Oh, that was great. You guys
I had a lot of fun with that, doing the back and forth, and, you know, also getting to hear both of our voices do the parts we wrote, I think was really cool.
Yeah,
you know, and funny story, I actually found out the recipe to my grandma's secret meatballs that made the meatballs sweet was actually raisins.
Cool.
Yeah, I must have seen 20 recipes for meatballs online, and I never saw that one, so don't tell anyone. That was great. Thank you, Kevin, for, coming on and reading that with me. It's definitely an honor to have you here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, y'all. It was a real joy.
Definitely. Well,
thanks
definitely,
for joining
us. No problem. We'll definitely be in touch, Kevin. I know you're a part of so many poetry things, and you're a real gift to just the poetry community at large. So thank you again.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Kevin.
You too.
So yeah, that was nice to have Kevin on board, and yeah, I definitely think there was something, you know, added by the fact that we could hear both of our voices. So actually, the next person who sent in, Mary Phillips, she actually kind of, you know, let us have column A and column B, because with one recording she actually did the entire thing, and the other thing she did it solo. So I'm actually going to play both of them, because I actually recorded myself in tandem with her for the second one. So we'll do it first, her reading her whole poem, you know, the whole poem, just herself, both of our parts, and then you'll see the one with me and her. So,
all right.
1,000 dreams and desires, never written down, never spoken aloud, fleeting, floating like a passing breeze. My fear floats too, and scatters like ashes, allowing me to catch the breeze, sailing unafraid. With each new wave, the map seems smaller, less complete. What was once just legend is now my reality. Precision now required, clouds no longer opaque. Stars may burn, yet I reach.
So that was her, and of course she put the music in the background, which I always love. So that was her solo. So now let's hear it with the back and forth between me and her.
That's going to be tough to beat. Really
1,000 dreams and desires, never written down, never spoken aloud. Fleeting, floating, like a passing breeze.
My fear floats too, and scatters like ashes, allowing me to catch the breeze, sailing unafraid.
With each new wave, the map seems smaller, less complete. What once was just legend is now my reality.
Required. Clouds no longer opaque. Stars may burn, yet I reach.
You started the poem so quickly I didn't get to finish, but I was going to say that's going to be tough to beat because I really enjoyed the music in the background, but I think you did because having that back and forth was really cool. And it was like a song duet, except that you weren't singing.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, well, hey, you know what they in ancient Japanese poetry, what they called singing wasn't singing either, or at least not by our standards. But yeah, no, I thought it was interesting hearing both because, you know, again, I like hearing, you know, the other poets say what I wrote, but I do think that the two, you know, unique voices definitely added something to it. So thank you, Mary, for sending in the files both ways and, you know, doing the recording with the spaces so I could just kind of jump in and do my own recording along with yours. And for the music, I think that went really well.
Yeah, the music was a great choice.
Yeah, so actually on the line we have somebody that you may know, Nick. I think his name is Mick or Mac, or maybe it's Mark, I believe.
Who? Oh, Mark Reason?
Hi. Oh, yeah, Mark. We'll go with that.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Well enough, well enough. Still working on Chaos.
Yes, the Chaos Anthology, Chaos the Poetry Vortex, which I know had quite a lot of submissions that you're diligently going through. Yeah, there's always something poetically happening.
Yeah, 120 in total.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's big anthology. So, yeah, there's always something poetic happening here at Local Gems. And also just before Mark and I do our poem back and forth, I just want to tell everybody, since I last mentioned, we've had another 9 copies of the book sell, so... I'm going to be owing Feeding America a decent amount of money after we're done with this. So that's good, because the way that Feeding America actually works, $1 is actually, they can stretch that to be worth 10 meals with what they do with their connections. So, and right
now,
it's definitely. I know, right? I mean,
that's,
you know, then
I
again, I was kind of thinking about, you know, ramen noodles and rice, you know, can be a lot of meals, and that's relatively cheap. But I think it's also because they buy in bulk. Connections, they have volunteers, they're very set up for doing it really good. So, you know, but right now more meals are needed than ever because, you know, places around the country, they have 8 to 10 times the demand. And, you know, roughly, you know, for a while they had about half of what they normally had in donations. So, you know, everybody who is buying the book to help contribute to that, thank you, you know, for your help with that. But yeah, so Mark, you ready to do our poem back and forth? I know we're on page 40
sure.
in the ebook.
Yep.
Yeah, Mark came in on the third day, but I really like the one that we came up with together. So I'll start. My eyes looking forward at all the places yet to go, overlooking what was behind me and how far I had already traveled.
There was no path to travel, nothing behind me but footprints, nothing ahead but virgin soil, untouched land on either side, no obstacle to traverse.
And I realized that the path had never actually existed, an object of my vision, a mirage, and yet how far I traveled.
I never saw the path. I merely walked. The distance was irrelevant. The distance is irrelevant. I continue to walk.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
like
I really
Mark
like that. Because, you know, it really talks about how so much of life takes place in your head and is really a mental game, you know, like on the path to succeeding anything or achieving anything. Because, I mean, it's like, let's be honest, we all pretty much kind of know how to make things happen. It's just that for one reason or another, a lot of us tend to get in our own way most of the time. So if we can just kind of get out of our own way and actually do the stuff, you know, like think how much potential we all have is really the question.
Right. And I mean, one of the exciting things though, also, cause Mark, I know you personally and hearing you read that, that's Mark. That's how Mark would react or respond to this prompt. So it's kind of cool to see how you put your own personal touch on it. And it's sort of identifiable as something that you would write. And I'm going to be saying this a lot, I think, but I like how you took it. I like the direction that you took it in, but also getting to see that you took it in a very different direction from everybody else.
Yeah, well, that's a great thing, I think, just about this exercise is that you know, every unique creative muse that everybody brings with it really does spawn a whole new, it's kind of like a tree that has different types of fruit growing from it, you know? It's really interesting.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, so, well, thank you, Mark, for, you know, being a part of that project with me and doing that on the wall, and thank you for calling in to read it, and also thank you for being editor of Chaos and all the other stuff that you do in poetry.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, so, yeah, talk to you soon, Mark.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I was really happy with how that one with Mark turned out. I think that one definitely went good. So this next person who actually sent in is somebody I actually have also known since high school. It seems to have a lot of that because I've known you since grade school, but that's a different story. But this was a person, I think I've told this story a little bit before on a previous episode, but I'll tell it again just because it's funny. There was a poetry event in downtown Northport, and it was a little bit crazy that night because there was some discrepancy, because it wasn't the normal night that the poetry reading was taking place, and so the Art League didn't really actually update the cafe, and so the cafe owners didn't have anybody who was working the hour later for us to be there, so it was like it was closing in about 45 minutes, and so we had to stuff a reading that would have been 2 hours into about 45 minutes pretty much. But this person was actually there for the open mic that night, and I, me and him had been in high school together, but that whole night I didn't recognize him and he didn't recognize me, because we both have facial hair now. So it wasn't until sending him on Facebook later that it was like, oh, it's you, you know, and then.
Oh, wait, that's your name?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it was like, well, no, it's like on Facebook, it's like I knew his name from that, but like seeing him, I didn't know it was
right.
him, and he didn't recognize me either. So it was just kind of funny. So this is one I did with Damian Bettinger. So let's hear that.
One 1,000 dreams and desires, never written down, never spoken aloud. Fleeting, floating, like a passing breeze. 1,000,000 seeds of fire, fallen from above, passionately inspired and contagiously spread, like love with ease. 93,000,000 miles between here and the sun. But despite the distance, I am warm. 1,000,000,000 little birdies left to believe in a better view. South was the place to go. Evil people mending needles meant to needlessly deceive you. Yet still, there's something you should know. We are the storm.
I really like that last line, we are the storm. That's a perfect ending, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And this is another example of how, like, one that flows so well that I kind of can't tell which parts are whose from the reading because it all just sounds so good as a whole.
Yeah, definitely. And I also liked the way that we kind of unconsciously did a projection because I did – my first verse was 1,000, and then his next one was 1,000,000, and then I progressed to, it was 93,000,000 miles, to the sun, and then he progressed to, 1,000,000,000, birdies, or like, so we had like this unconscious progression going on the more we went into the poem, which I also thought was really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, there's just infinite possibilities that come out from this. Like, I really hope that this style of doing a poetry thing actually, like, kind of catches on, and other people start doing this where they kind of have, like, the quote-unquote honored guest, because that's what, the Japanese would call it, who would start the stuff, and then other people would kind of come in and add to it, because this is kind of like a Renga on crack, in a way, because, for those who don't know, a Renga basically it was a collaboration between usually three or more poets where you would have somebody who would basically start the poem with something called a hoku. So they'd have three lines that would start a poem, and then other people afterwards would kind of do linked verse that would make a longer poem. I know most of you listening have probably been to a workshop or read the Japanese book, so you probably know that, but for those who don't, sometimes this would be between three poets, sometimes it was between 300 poets, it could be a party game, it could be done through correspondence, but it would usually start with somebody who was considered the honored guest, who was either the highest status in nobility at the party or an educated person or somebody, prominent in that particular moment. Sometimes it would be whoever's birthday it was would kind of start it. So in a way, this book is kind of like that. And I would love to see this catch on with other people out there who might start something like this. So hopefully that catches on.
So if you're looking for something to do at your next birthday party, consider writing a poem together. And that's not even a joke. It is actually tons of fun. not to get too much into the Ringa, but sometimes it would even involve a little bit of sake.
A little bit of sake.
Yeah, I'm downplaying it a little, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, it would be great to see this catch on.
Definitely. So the next poet that we have here is, his name is Jim Landwehr, and he's from Wisconsin. And he actually was also part of the Mondo workshop that we did. And I know one of the things I really liked about actually seeing all these things was that he became friends with, long distance with the person he wrote the Mondo with. Which is something I've been really loving watching as BardCon Virtual has kind of gone on and seeing a lot of new friendships form between creative parties over state lines and even country lines. So yeah, let's listen to his.
My name is Jim Landwehr. I'm a poet from Waukesha, Wisconsin, and this is my entry into A Pathway to Dreams collaborative poem. My eyes looking forward at all the places yet to go, overlooking what was behind me and how far I had already traveled. When you were taken from me, I was left to walk alone from here to Santa Cruz, a journey without a compass, directionless, seeking to give those moments new breath. Straight paths felt like circles, not sure where I was going, only that I was going and that I had to. Winds could not defeat me, nor the relentless beating sun. My sight set on the falling horizon, looking for apparitions of your voice.
Wow. I really, that's another ending line I really liked.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, again, you sound like broken records, but just the you know, the unique creativity and all the different directions from the same thing. And that's really what I just love about this the most is it's, the starting stuff was so simple and it spawned so much, you know?
Yeah. And I suppose I could say a little bit more. I think that was an ending I enjoyed, but left me wanting more. But yeah, I agree. There's only so many ways you can say, wow, I really like that before you start repeating yourself.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, I really like that. And speaking of Wisconsin poets, the next one we have up is Christina Norcross, who, for those who have been listening to Bard's Poetry Revolution and BardCon Virtual, have, you know, you may have actually seen the workshop that she did up on the website. And you've probably heard her several times at this point, but she was another one who did all three of the poetry prompts with me. So another one of those long journeys over the trilogy. So let's hear her recordings.
Hello, my name is Christina Norcross, and I'm happy to be here sharing a reading of a collaboration with James Wagner for the new collection, A Pathway to Dreams. Very honored to be here for the virtual launch for BardsCon Virtual. I'll be reading three different poems. In each of the poems, the first and third stanzas were written by James Wagner, and the second and the fourth stanzas were written by myself. Poem number one. 1,000 dreams and desires never written down, never spoken aloud, fleeting, floating like a passing breeze. Arms extended, branches reaching for the future, we journey without a map. We wander the unknown trails. When the forks in the road multiply, when the paths ahead are winding, I wonder if my guide, that little voice inside, will be enough. A bird appears on a branch, sits with my anxious soul, soothes the flame of uncertainty. Each cell within now sings. Poem number two. I wrote down a desire and it became a vision. A goal, a path materialized, and I took my first steps. It was a road of burnished gold. Red leaves like confetti fell to my feet. Light through low branches leading the way. I walked with hope and reverence. Each one of those falling leaves held a message for me, but was I wise enough to decipher them? Parchment inscribed by the forest, the wisdom of trees, I walk with tender feet towards tomorrow. Poem number 3, the final poem. My eyes looking forward at all the places yet to go, overlooking what was behind me and how far I had already traveled. Footsteps in the sand speak of many travelers. How can I make my own path, yet still hold hands with both time and the eternal? How many footsteps that came before me have been lost to the kiss of water's waves? I glide forward with grace, patience leading me by the hand. This fragile day holds many offerings. My hand an empty cup, gratitude awakening me to all that is. Thank you very much for including me, James, in tonight's reading. Just wanted to say that I'm honored to be included in this collection with so many other Local Gems authors. This was a true pleasure to take part in this wonderful collaboration, which started on Facebook. It was a wonderful, organic way to have poems come about, going back and forth in conversation through poems. Thank you again.
Well, you're welcome, Christina, if you're listening, and thank you for, you know, not only sending in, you know, your recordings, but being a part of it altogether, and thank you for everything you do for poetry, because you do quite a lot in your own right.
Yeah, and at the risk of the record, I really enjoyed that, particularly the imagery in the second poem, and it's nice to see how, you know, some people, like Mark, got very philosophical. Some people are very much painting a picture with imagery. There's so many different directions you can take this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of Christina's poems is really, you know, poems are really rich with really good imagery. She's really good with that. And, you know, during this whole thing, for those who don't know, she actually had a Facebook group, you know, Connections and Creativity, where people were coming together, and she was posting almost daily writing prompts for a while for people in that group. So, you know, it was also another way to really help people connect. And yeah, I like that she, you know, felt the need to point out about Facebook, because that is something that I do kind of keep laughing at, thinking about how this whole thing was really just a Facebook post gone wild. You know, I mean, we always talk about, oh, social media and all the damage it does to us mentally and all this stuff, but, you know, it also, I mean, and granted, it does damage us mentally, I think, but it also can actually do a lot of good things, and I think this whole project is really an example of that.
That actually sounds like a fun poem title, Facebook Gone Wild. Understand the meaning of the title.
Yeah, I can't imagine the type of submissions that we would get for that, though. So, hey, maybe that's an anthology Mark can edit.
Well, I mean, I'd say it would fit chaos in a poetry vortex in and of itself.
Yeah, exactly. So the next one that we have is from Sarah Ritter. She's a poet from Connecticut. She's heavily involved with the, you know, the National Beat Poetry Foundation. She, you know, does stuff that. She's been in the Connecticut books that we've done, and she's been in quite a few anthologies, so she's a pretty prolific writer. And people who have listened to, you know, BardCon Virtual before actually may have heard some bits from an audiobook that she actually sent in. So let's listen to her.
My eyes looking forward at all the places yet to go, overlooking what was behind me and how far I had already traveled. My feet pointing forward towards the unmarked future, my mind racing with possibility, yet I could not help but glance back. Did I really go that distance, one step at a time? How many miles passed without conscious thought? How many deliberate steps were also taken to bring me this far? I wonder if I'm now the same person, and I hope that I no longer am.
Talk about another killer last line there.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go through this entire book and just read all the last lines, because we've heard so many really powerful ones so far. And I'm wondering if maybe there's something about this exercise or this sort of way of writing that leads you to having really powerful last lines.
Yeah, well, I also think it's because the poems, you know, are shorter, which is something, you know, Japanese styles are famous for, well, most of the time. Some of the poems, you know, could go on for volumes and volumes, but they were always kind of created in very condensed pieces. So even if you had, like, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, you wrote the book with me, but even if they had a really long poem, it was usually connected parts that were smaller parts, and most of those smaller parts could be poems in their own right and just became longer, different poems when you connected them. So I think that part of the fact that these were all condensed, you know, tiny verses and then tiny poems probably really kind of helped with, you know, the richness of each line being really powerful, I think, a lot of people in this condensed a whole lot into very little. Because even just that line about, you know, that I, you know, how different than who I hope I, you know, I am, just the idea of, you know, going along a path and how, you know, the farther you go, you know, the more you change and all that stuff, or the more that you pick up and the more you leave behind, the more you go along. You know, it kind of reminded me actually something that a poet friend of ours, who anybody who's from, you know, Long Island, New York will know, was Antonio Balia, madly loved. And this wasn't even a poem of his. This was just a conversation where he was talking about, you know, because he's in, you know, his 60s, he's a grandfather now, and he's just talking about how he comes across things all the time now that he's like, I would really love to do that or get invested in that or be a part of it, but, you know, the cart behind me is full. And so the only way I could do that is if, you know, I take something out of the cart to pick up the new thing. And, you know, he's talking about how early on in life you're walking down this path, you have an empty cart, essentially. So you can just pick things up and start throwing them in the cart and just collecting all these things until eventually there's no space left. And, you know, when you think about it, like as you go from being a kid to being an adult, you know, there's so much truth in that because, you know, when you're younger, you have a lot more time to experiment and do things. But when you're an adult, you already have all these things you're already committed to and already taking up your time. So, you know, if you want to pick up something new, you sometimes have to, you know, leave something behind. So I just find that whole concept of going along the path and all that, it's been on my mind lately, obviously, because that's where the poems came from. But philosophically, I think it's definitely very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something I like. That way of putting it too is that your cart is full. You need to take something out because I can definitely, I mean, as somebody who has a lot of interests, can relate to that. You know, and some you just can't have everything that you want. You can't carry everything at once.
Yeah, but according to the philosopher Jagger, if you try, sometimes you might get what you need.
That's true. I had to read that guy in college, I think.
Yeah, I also stole that from House, but that's another story.
I remember. I recognize it.
Well, maybe there were some people out there who didn't remember, and I was just trying to expose myself, you know, about, well, not that type of expose myself, because it's only audio, but, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
No, but to, you know, basically confess to me stealing it before somebody calls me out on it, you know. So the next one that we actually have here is Janet Wade, who is another prolific poet, you know, who's from Long Island, and she's been in a lot of anthologies and projects that we've done. So let's hear what she has.
1,000 dreams and desires, never written down, never spoken aloud, fleeting, floating like a passing breeze. Hidden deep within the crevices of the mind, revisited again and again, time upon time, but never put to paper, for in the mind it stays, lost to the world and the wind that took it away. Perhaps these desires lost to me shall be picked up by someone somewhere, like a message in a bottle that ignites something deep within, creating dreams that surpasses basic imaginations and allowing the finder to grasp the truth that while some plant, others will reap. And when unite, we'll dance like leaves falling from the trees during the fall.
Now, first and foremost, I just love the way that she recites.
You know, I was going to say that, but you said it first, so I'm going to say it too. I really love the way she recited that. I guess that was not exactly the same as what you said.
Yeah, but you know, the other thing is hearing the different ways that people actually enunciate, you know, the words that I wrote in there when they're doing, you know, when they're recording and reading our entire collab poem. It's just interesting to me because everybody almost reads it slightly different than how I would read it. You know, and it always brings like a new flavor or a new taste to it when they do it. So that's just, you know, that's definitely a blessing of hearing this so many times because, you know, how often do you get to hear other people reading your poems, you know, at least in this quantity? So that's really nice.
Yeah. And it kind of can give you an idea of where they're headed with it too, because you can tell by the tone, maybe so the way it's hitting them when they read it and then the direction they're going to take when they write, you know, continue to write it.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I think that we really, really stumbled onto something, you know, during this crisis by discovering this. I definitely foresee a lot more collaborative projects in the future and a lot more creativity coming from them.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, so we have a couple of more here. We got one from Benjamin Crisafulli, who's from the UK, and he actually heads up the Buzzin' Bards, our chapter out there in Manchester, UK, and also has some other projects going out there, like the White Rose Bards in Yorkshire, which is kind of newly formed, so looking forward to that. So let's hear his recitation.
My eyes looking forward at all the places yet to go, overlooking what was behind me and how far I'd already travelled. My feet are anchored to a town that isn't home, while at night my soul's a journeyman. Diligence breaks the chains. The summit is breeze. But where is home now? On the road, in constant transition, I might look for a place to hang my hat, if I had one. To some it's bricks and mortar, yet these easily crumble, while true bonds are the keystone in the bridge that binds hearts.
We're really on a roll for good last lines.
Yeah, and wow, that was cool. And that was it was a good last line, and it still made me want more, but not in a way that was like, it just made you want to hear it again.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, you know, a good way to put it. And, you know, the thing is, there was good energy with it. You know, I mean, maybe we should do a prompt book just called Last Lines, you know, and just have to take some of these last lines of poems and just be like, okay, so here's the last line. Now write the poem that led up to it.
That would be a lot of fun. James, check your Facebook real quick.
Okay.
You should have a notification from me. While you're checking your Facebook, I'm just going to tell everyone else, because you keep mentioning that you want to make this into a trend, you want to have this catch on. Well, it's starting to, because I'm going to do one of these. So if you have me on Facebook, and if not, I tag James in it, so you should be able to see it from there. I just posted my own starter. I'm very excited. Oh, I had someone's face already. Oh, they stopped. So I'm excited to see what comes out of this. I didn't have a picture on mine, so I hope it travels as far, because I hear that posts with pictures tend to get more responses, but we'll see what happens, because I'm having so much fun hearing everybody's responses and seeing all the poems that came out of your post, James, so I want to do my own.
Uh-oh. Well, I mean, I would do yours, but there's no picture, so I can't do it. No, definitely.
I'm going to find a picture real quick.
That's going to be fun. But, yeah, you should actually add a picture to it just because it kind of helps set the mood. I did have a picture each of the 3 days, which aren't in the book, but I think the cover is beautiful, though. And actually, just to give a little bit about that cover, you know, because that was a kind of an episode of, like, sometimes, you know, you just ask the universe, you know, or God for what you need, and it just kind of shows up, you know, just the law of attraction, so to speak. Because once I had all, you know, the poems for this book done, I was kind of thinking about how I really, you know, I need to figure out what would be a good cover for it, you know, and I decided, you know, I would call it The Pathway to Dreams, because I'm talking a lot about dreams and desires and pathways. And when I was doing that, I was scrolling through my Facebook, and a poet friend of mine from Pennsylvania, from the Scranton area, actually had just posted a painting she had just finished. saying, you know, hey, I just did this painting, you know, it just kind of came to me. And I looked at it and I'm like, that's the cover. So I messaged her and I was just like, hey, can I throw a little bit at you to do, you use this for my thing or whatever? And she's like, yeah, that'd be so great. So she was really excited and I was really excited. And then when I posted the cover, everybody just fell in love with it. So it's one of those perfect, you know, like the stars align in your favor sometimes type of deal, you know?
That's great. It seems almost like everything about this book kind of just fell into place perfectly.
Yeah, it definitely did, I think. And speaking of announcements, I do have an announcement that I'm going to make before the end of this launch tonight. But we have one more recording that we're going to play, and then you and I can actually recite the poem that we wrote together through this. But yeah, this next recording actually is another one of those where I actually recorded my voice in with their voice. So it should be interesting. This is with Linda Widloka, which I hope I said her last name right. I've never actually met her in person. She's a poetry friend through friends and stuff, so if I've mispronounced it, I do apologize. But it's been a lot of fun collaborating with her on this poem, so here you go.
My eyes looking forward at all the places yet to go, overlooking what was behind me and how far I had already traveled.
I ran, walked, even traced onward. The foreboding was not as real as I had dreamt. It was the periwinkle that spoke out to me like a psalm, a chant. Not melancholy, instead melodic rhapsody.
The beat of the music dictating my steps, possessing my body, mind, and spirit. Thinking without thoughts, moving without conscious movement.
An idle soul resists the unseen, remembers the past, takes refuge amongst the weedy furrows beside an untarnished garden, never trod upon.
Wow.
I know. I know that there's practicalities, because like I have ambitions where I would really love to have an audiobook of this, where we actually, you know, all the 34 poets, we did the poems back and forth in our voices. But I know that that would be like an organizational nightmare, so it may not happen like that. Maybe a limited ebook with the people who are willing to do it or something. I don't know, because hearing it in the different poets' voices definitely adds a lot more to it, I think.
Yeah, it would definitely be difficult to, it could take a lot of editing if you had them send the readings to you in pieces and you just edit it together, but that would make an amazing audiobook.
Yeah, definitely. So I think we actually have one more caller on the line before we get to our poem.
Great. Send the readings to you in pieces and you just edit it together, but that would make an amazing
860 number. Are you there? We actually have one more caller on the line before we get to our poem.
Hearing
myself
together.
Again. We have an 860 number. Are you there?
Hello?
There it is.
Hi, it's me.
Hey, Patricia?
Yes, it's me. Hello?
Hey, how's it going? May want to mute
it's
this
going,
stuff in the background because we're getting the feedback of the
I
show.
I will. I know. I can hear it. It's good to be a part of this show. It's been really fascinating, and I'm so impressed with all the participation and all the talent from all over the country and the world. It's just been so inspiring. So I thank you for all you've done, both of you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for being a part of it. And so we have you have the ebook in front of you. You want to read our poem?
I do. I participated in prompt 2 and 3, and I have to tell you, you were looking for it to catch on and inspire. So I just have to say as a sideline that you have inspired me to do what I'm calling solitary duets with a writer-poet friend of mine, Jack Sheedy. And since April 6th, during this, you know, kind of sequestered time, every day we take turns starting with a new prompt and do 4 stanzas, and that's all because of you, and I thank you. It's kind of helped keep me sane. So
I've actually seen a couple couple of those that you've posted, so I'm really happy that you're doing that and that it caught on.
Yeah, since April 6th, it's been a lot. So we keep it up, and it's like, okay, sometimes it's like, oh, my God, I have to do it. And it's like, it's 8 lines minimum. Come on, you can do 8 lines a day. So it's kind of kept the creative juices flowing during this difficult time. And I so appreciate everything you've done to inspire people everywhere with this. So I participated in prompt 2 and 3.
Yep,
so
and,
the first one, huh?
Yeah, you want to read it back and forth where I'll start it, and then we'll
that would be great. I would love that.
Okay, so we're on page 34 for those going around. I'm going to read
yes.
the first and third. We'll read the second and
Perfect.
Fourth.
Perfect.
I wrote down a desire, and it became a vision, a goal. A path materialized, and I took my first steps.
Not seeing, but believing, sensing the magnitude of possibilities in every direction.
The abundance of choices temporarily overwhelming me to take no action as I contemplate which fork to take.
But my desire reignited my taste for passion, and I stepped forward and never looked back.
Wow.
The end.
You have to pause after hearing the last line of a lot of these, and that one I think especially, just to kind of process what you just heard, because that was great.
It was
yeah, I really
fun.
Do
it
like
really...
the back and forth. Maybe some readings in the future, you'll have two poets go up to the mic and they'll kind of do the back and forth thing like this, because I really like it. So
like perfect. Because you do hear the two voices. I mean, it's a cohesive poem. Everything that everybody's done has been so amazing, and it's been a cohesive poem, but yet to hear the two voices kind of adds another whole, like, layer.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. You know, so we got one more in here, and it's on page 56. You ready?
Correct. I'm right there. I'm with you.
Okay, with me. Here we go. My eyes looking forward at all the places yet to go, overlooking what was behind me and how far I had already traveled.
I turned a blind eye, forsaking who I was, now a futuristic shapeshifter without a compass.
Where will I go? What will I do? Who will I become? And if I met my past self, would I shake my own hand?
I turn around. There are myriad mirrors reflecting me 360 degrees. I reach out to touch myself, all of me at once.
Wow, I love it. I love it. I can't even, it's all so good, I don't even know what to do with it. You know, like it's just like...
I think you should put it in
it's
a book.
It's so much fun to see. It's like tennis. It's like badminton. I'm going to lob this to you. You lob this to me. What are we going to do with this? And I'm...
it's
yeah,
poetic tennis.
Poetic tennis. Yeah, maybe that should be a title for another anthology.
Right.
So, well,
I know.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being a part of it, you know, Patricia. And thank you for, you know, continuing on the collaborative thing. Like I said, I've seen some of what you've done, and it's great, so I hope you definitely keep on doing it. And I'm happy that it helped keep you sane during this crazy time we're in.
Oh, it does. It's like my little anchor. I mean, all the days are kind of, you know, fluid, and, you know, you hear news, you stay away from news, and, you know, you wear a mask. But to have this as, like, an anchor is, like, so important, and the arts are so important. And I think the sharing is what keeps us, you know, connected. So I thank you both for everything you're doing. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for being a part of it.
Thank
so.
You. Okay, check you later.
Okay. Yep, bye-bye, Patricia.
Bye.
Yeah, so that was just another bit of the back and forth that I think went really well. So, Nick, you got the e-book up?
I'm ready.
Okay, so we were on page 20. You did the first one I did. So,
yeah.
And kind of like when we do the Japanese stuff, I'm repeating my first lines over and over. It's like, I've said this before, haven't I? But but each one is totally different, so that's good.
Yeah, but
1,000
this one,
dreams
I think it,
and desires, never written down, never spoken aloud, fleeting, floating, like a passing breeze.
Until finally they land and germinate, ideas to action.
Each action leads to another. Another pathway forms, leading to two more, and then four.
Infinite paths, some crossing, some not, meant to be taken one at a time.
Wow. Yeah, and honestly, I feel like that one was definitely a good microcosm for this entire project, because, you know... At some point during this, I go away for like 20 minutes to make a sandwich, and I'd come back, and there'd be like seven new poems I had to reply to, you know. So, but it was great, you know. It was always.
That wasn't my intention when I wrote that. You're right. I see it now that you mention it.
Yeah, I know. No, it's really great. Like, because there's so many subconscious similarities that have come out between, like, you know, what I was thinking and then what some of the other poets were thinking in it, and it really just kind of adds different dimensions to it, because you kind of see the different ways how we're kind of thinking similar things but in different ways, and so doing it this way we get to different poems than we would have if I was writing it by myself, because, you know, I would never have come up with, I know that, like, my name is the main name on this because I was the quote-unquote guest of honor and all that, and it's, you know, this is mostly my collection because I've written, you know, there's like 60 poems in here. I've written half of each one, so I'm kind of like, there's 30 poems of mine in here, pretty much, if you combine the like terms, so to speak. But I never would have gotten to anywhere, you know, near what happened in here without everybody else helping. So, you know, I really want to thank everybody who, you know, was a part of this with me, and I definitely hope to do more of these in the future. So I'm going to just, you know, one little announcement I'm going to give. Well, first of all, so far we have had 15 copies of the book sell just during this launch. So that's really good for Feeding America. I know plenty of other people are going to get it later. So for all that, 90% of the profits, like I said, are going to Feeding America until the next 7.5 minutes when we end this the show. And then after that, the book will still be available through direct purchase for another week, and anything sold during that time, 30% will be going to Feeding America. So even if you missed it live, you could still help Feeding America by still getting a copy. But yeah, so the announcement that I kind of have, because this is another bit of good news that was just officially announced today as far as poetry goes, thanks to the National Beat Poetry Foundation based in Connecticut, I have been named the official National Beat Poet Laureate for the year 2020 to 2021. So that was a nice
little bit. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited about that. You know, I'm very excited it was announced today, and there's already been, you know, it was actually posted about 15 minutes after I posted this event tonight, so I was getting all sorts of congratulations on two separate, you know, threads at the same time, and I was like, I don't even know which one to respond to. There was so much coming in. So, I want to thank the National Beat Poetry Foundation for that honor. Thank you to Debbie Kilday for, you know, heading that up and all the great work that she does with that, and thank you to, you know, all the fellow Beat Laureates, you know, that have been with me through the years, because I already was the Long Island Beat Poet Laureate for 2017 to 2019, so this is kind of like the next step of that, and there's a lot of good projects that will be coming from that, you know, a lot of things with the beats, and there's going to be some exciting announcements as far as some beat poetry projects that will be coming in the not-too-distant future, but for now, I just wanted to announce that I got that title and say thank you to those who were responsible for it. And certainly, I definitely wouldn't have gotten that title without all the wonderful poets, obviously like you, Nick, my wonderful publishing partner, and everybody else who was part of this project and the myriad of other projects that we've done over the years. So I know sometimes I feel like I get more credit than, you know, I necessarily deserve, because, you know, the bulk of the work really comes from, you know, the community of poets, and I'm really just, you know, just the one shaping it into printable format.
All right. I can understand that, especially when you go to an event or you have an anthology, and it's like, well, we couldn't have done that without every single one of you also participating in it.
Exactly.
So I understand, but that's some great news. Congratulations. And I'm looking forward to, I mean, I know some of what's in the works already, but I'm looking forward to hearing it announced. and getting to see how everybody else reacts to some of the stuff that we have, that you are working on.
Yes, and there may or may not be some collaborative projects involved with that. Wink, wink. I like I said, I really hope that this type of book actually catches on, because it is very unique. You know, it's somewhere in between individual collection and anthology. We're trying to come up with a good name for this type of book to kind of create the genre in a way. We definitely like the word mosaic, because like a, you know, multi-tile, piece of art, it's like this is really multi-tile group of poets. But we think there should be a second word to go with that, and we can't really figure out what it is. So if anybody's listening and you have an idea for what this type of collaborative project should be called, you know, drop us a message or a comment and let us know what you think, because we'd really like to, you know, kind of coin the phrase for the genre with this.
Yeah. So the collaborative, not just in the genre itself, but also in the way the title came about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I was just looking, and we just had another couple of copies sold while we were talking. So that's at least 17 copies that is, you know, the profits of will go to Feeding America. So that's really good, because that's going to be a lot of meals. And like we said, they definitely need them right now. So, So I just want to take, a minute here to thank you, Nick, for, kind of hosting and interviewing me, tonight about this project. Definitely couldn't do, nearly all the poetry stuff I do without your help in general, and couldn't have done this tonight without you. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for doing this project.
You're welcome, and I'll definitely be taking part of your spinoff, on your wall for this. Obviously, I didn't write right now because we're live, but I will shortly after. I will jump into, because I noticed looking quick that people are already replying to it, so I got to get in there before I run out of space.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, anything you want to say closing off? We got 3 minutes before this cuts off, and I kind of want to stretch it to as close to 3 minutes as we can, just so anybody who wants to get in those last-minute 90% sales, can do so.
All right. Well, first, I'm going to echo you and just basically say everything you said over again. So thank you to everybody who was a part of this project, and thank you to everybody who's already responded to my post, because I'm excited to do this, and to anybody who's maybe thinking about participating either by joining my post or maybe even doing one of these yourselves. Thank you for even thinking about it, but please go ahead and do it, because this is a lot of fun. That was not 3 minutes.
No, it wasn't. There's still, we could say that joke, we know. Nah, that's okay. You know, for the next somebody who buys in the next 10 minutes after this episode ends, I will still count it towards the 90% for Feeding America, because it's still a good cause anyway. So, don't have to be too strict with that. Thank you all for the overwhelming support. I mean, this is actually the first virtual book launch we've actually ever done. We've done hundreds of regular book launches live and in person, but in terms of virtual ones, this is the first one that was completely virtual. So I thought it was a good experience, and I'm happy that so many people from different areas could be a part of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. There's the 90-second warning. And there are going to be definitely some other virtual book launches in the future for some other projects. I know that Mark is in talks with us to do one for, Chaos, the anthology, when that one's finally out. And while virtual stuff definitely doesn't take the place of live stuff, and we will always be doing, poetry tours and going all over the place for some projects where we've had submissions from just, so many different places that geographically it would make more sense, we're definitely going to consider doing virtual launches like this.
Yeah,
there, Nick.
I'm having a little some technical difficulties. I think the sound cut out towards the end, but I'm here now.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we're just about done. So, I'm just going to say my thank you to everybody sincerely. Thank you all for your purchases. Thank you for your poems. Thank you for your creativity, and just thank you all for being you. Because honestly, it's really helped me with the inspiration. Like I said, I'm a good publisher, but I'm a crappy poet sometimes. But with all of you helping me, I became a good poet for an evening.
Yes, thanks, everyone. Good night.
Take care. Have a good one.